Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Well, sorry to tell you, but Krishna is going to leave Gokula and go to Vrindavan. What can we say? He wanted to go to Vrindavan, and so he inspired the elders to have a discussion about moving to Vrindavan from Gokula. And that's the section that we're going to be reading from. This is chapter 11, Krishna's childhood pastimes. And many things happened so far. The twin Arjuna trees had fallen and everyone was puzzled. How did that happen? Little boy said, he did it. He pulled the tree over with a wooden grinding mortar, and not only that, but two celestial beings came out of the trees and said things, and they left. So the parents were, right, nice try. So, but they decided, with disturbances, too many disturbances, it's time to leave Gokul. There were other reasons they gave. The grass had been well trampled by the cows, and we'll hear some of their reasoning. Starting with text 22, chapter 11, 10, 11, 22. At this meeting, all of the inhabitants of Gokula, a cowherd man named Upananda, who was the most mature in age and knowledge and was very experienced according to time, circumstance, and country, made this suggestion for the benefit of Rama and Krishna. Vishwanath writes, Upananda was Nanda's elder minister. From the description, it is understood that he was wise. Jiva Goswami writes, among them, Upananda had knowledge of purpose, or artha, place and time, taking them individually and altogether, and had special knowledge of what was best, average, and inferior. He was called most knowledgeable, Gyanadikaha, because he was older and acted according to his name. Upananda means subordinate to Nanda. You know that story, right? When Parjanya was turning over the kingdom to his eldest son, Upananda, he turned to Nanda and said, he should be the king. My name is Upananda. And he's the best. He's Nanda. So he acted according to his name, Upananda. He was Nanda's advisor and elder brother. This means he was qualified to speak. By his natural prema, he did what was beneficial for Balaram and Krishna, Priya Krit. He feared for the safety of Krishna and Balaram, as mentioned in the previous verse, Mahot Patan Anubhuya. Though actually the name Upananda should be given to the younger brother, their father had named them in the opposite way, at his discretion. His father named him Upananda because He gave joy to those close by. Later he named the younger child Nanda as part of the pair. By chance, those names happened to describe their position in relation to each other. That is, Nanda was the main brother and Upananda was his assistant. Since Nanda was endowed with all characteristics, Upananda, the elder, most wise brother, voluntarily gave Nanda leadership of Gokula. Are we okay?
No.
I'm fine. Look at you, got a short sleeve shirt on. Maybe you're hot.
The bank in the back
is. I'm fine. Thanks. If I get hard, I'll let you know. Okay? All right. Vishwanath writes in his commentary, Upananda was not only Nanda Maharaja's elder brother, but he was also most learned and an experienced counselor. Text 23, chapter 11. He said, as Upananda, my dear friends, the cowherd men, in order to do good to this place, Gokula, we should leave it. Because so many disturbances are always occurring here just for the purpose of killing Rama and Krishna. Vishwanath writes, thinking of the welfare of all the inhabitants of Braja, Gokulasya Hitai Sibihi, we should move. Jiva Goswami writes, we should go elsewhere. Why? We think of the benefit of all the people of Gokula. Great disturbances, which may cause the destruction of our younger boys, may take place. Plural, boys. He mentions boys in general rather than Krishna, so that Nanda would not feel Krishna alone was the cause of moving. In reality, by looking after the welfare of Krishna, all others' welfare would prosper. While describing the pain of the disturbances to all the people, he showed affection for Krishna, who had come there out of curiosity by putting him on his lap, and spoke of the past incidents concerning Krishna. So this is Jiva's explanation. While he was speaking, there weren't, it was only elders, but Krishna came while he was speaking and sat on his lap, and so he's showing special attention and affection to Krishna. Sanatan Goswami writes, we should go elsewhere. Why? We think of the benefit of all the people of Gokula. By giving benefit to Krishna, everyone benefited. Though the real goal was Krishna, as explained later, Upananda mentioned danger to all the boys, since they would go quickly if all the cowherds became frightened. Or, if Krishna was in danger, it followed that all the boys were in danger. If there was danger to Krishna, the life of all beings in Braja, everyone in Braja, would be destroyed. Text 24. The child, Krishna, simply by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was somehow or other rescued from the hands of the Rakshasi, Putana, who was determined to kill him. Then again, by the mercy of the Supreme Godhead, the handcart missed falling upon the child. 2. Jiva Goswami writes, by mentioning Rakshasas, Upananda hints that it is impossible for the Vraja people to counteract them. What to speak of children counteracting them? somehow Krishna was saved. We did not directly see the cause. By some inconceivable cause he was saved. The word he, H-I, indicates that it was well known, experienced by all the people. He then explains the cause of Krishna's safety. It was because of the mercy of the Lord, certainly. Nunam, although we could not see it directly. Sanatan Goswami writes, the great dangers are described. By themselves, they could not prevent these disasters. This is described in three verses. Since Krishna was an infant, Balakaha, he could not by himself free himself. We did not see directly the cause. By some inconceivable fortune he was saved. He is our very life. This meeting was suitable for elders. The youngsters were not present. Paragraph. By the mercy of the Lord, who removes all miseries and disasters, Hari, from him, he was saved from the cart. He escaped from the Rakshasi, who could do nothing against the protecting mantras of Yashoda and others while in the house of us devotees. That is our good fortune. When the cart fell on him while he was sleeping under it, far off in a lonely place, the cart broke. By the mercy of the Lord, that miracle happened. Text 25. Then again, the demon Trinavarta, in the form of a whirlwind, Chakravatena, in case you want to know what a whirlwind in Sanskrit is, Chakravatena, took the child away into the dangerous sky to kill him. But the demon fell down onto a slab of stone. In that case also, by the mercy of Vishnu and his associates, the child was saved. Jiva Goswami writes, he was taken by the demon into the sky full of danger since it was high without any support. He was saved by associates sent by the Lord. In this case also, the Lord, along with his associates, saved him. Sanatan Goswami writes, Ayam indicates that the event happened soon after or concerning the same person, or it indicates affection by showing the inauspicious act of Trinavarta. He was taken by the demon into the sky, which was dangerous because if he fell, he would be killed. Though it is not suitable to speak of the Lord in this manner, it was done to invoke a sense of fear. Or it is stated out of anxiety arising from general affection, according to this Sanskrit rule that says, a relative or intimate friend is always fearful of some injury to his beloved, which is true. Though he fell on a stone. Above and below, there was danger. He was saved by the best devatas, Sureshwarai. Vishwanath has a slightly different explanation. Krishna was once taken into the sky by Trinavarta, Chakravatena, and nearly killed Vipadam. Fortunately, he was saved by Vishnu, Sureshwarai, because he's the best of the demigods. The word api mentioned in the following verse should be understood in this verse also, that is, quote, although api, Krishna was taken in the sky and dropped on a rock, he was saved by Vishnu. So there's only two more verses. Text 26. Even the other day, neither Krishna nor any of his playmates died from the falling of the two trees. Although the children were near the trees, or even between them, this also is to be considered the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, no BBT purport or Prabhupada purport. Jiva Goswami writes, he speaks with choked voice and tears. He uses incomplete language out of grief. Sanatana Goswami writes, though it was improper to speak of death, he does so to have everyone recollect the inauspiciousness of the event in order to increase everyone's affection for Krishna. He was protected by the Lord, who spreads everywhere without fail, Achyuta. It would be impossible for anyone else to protect the boys who are scattered all over from the falling of the tall trees. And Vaishnava Toshin Jiva Goswami's additional commentary. The child and others did not die on going between the trees. This was also protection by the Lord. And comments that Upananda was speaking with a choked voice and tears. His language was not normal language because he was speaking out of grief. So comes 27. All these incidents are being caused by some unknown demon. Before he comes here to create another disturbance, it is our duty to go somewhere else with the boys until there are no more disturbances. And this is Prabhupada's purport. Upananda suggested, by the mercy of Lord Vishnu, Krishna has always been saved from so many dangerous incidents. Now, let us leave this place and go someplace where we may worship Lord Vishnu undisturbed before there is another cause of death from some demon who may attack us. A devotee desires only that he may execute devotional service undisturbed. Actually, we see, however, that even during the presence of Krishna, when Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men had the Supreme Personality of Godhead in their presence, there were disturbances. Of course, in every case, Krishna came out victorious. The instruction we may derive from this is that we should not be disturbed by so-called disturbances. Easier said than done, right? There have been so many disturbances to our Krishna consciousness movement, but we cannot give up our forward march. On the contrary, people are receiving this movement very enthusiastically all over the world, and they are purchasing literature about Krishna consciousness with redoubled energy. Thus, there are both encouragements and disturbances. That was so even in Krishna's time. A little social comment. So that's as far as we're going with reading. Each of these, in the flow of Krishna's Leela, it's common that things are moving this way, and then all of a sudden they're moving that way. And then all of a sudden they're moving another way. Commonly, the reason behind is disclosed sometimes it's not specifically disclosed, but Krishna wants something. So he wanted to go to Vrindavan, and so then there was this whole sequence of things discussing about going to Vrindavan and why. And from Gopal Champa we heard, or Brihat Bhagavatamrita rather, we heard some of the reasons, additional reasons. The cows had broken the fields and the grass and even the trees, and so it wasn't as luscious for the cows where they were. There had been some previous time when Vrindavan was left, but now it's been restored, and it gives description of different types of grasses. That's coming tomorrow morning. Oops, following morning. And evening. So it's a whole contemplation, but it has to do with the icha, the desire of Krishna, and from Krishna's desire then everything happens, specifically in his pastimes in any case. I mean, Krishna desires for living entities to be with him in loving mood, but he doesn't interfere with their free will. But those that have a loving mood, he can easily influence them, and they just do whatever he wants for his pastimes. I mean, because we just read that section, a natural one to point to was the Damodar Lila. Krishna wanted his mother to feed him, but she was caught between the milk boiling over and feeding Krishna, and she used her rational faculty to say, if I just let the milk boil over, it'll spoil. So I can come back and resume feeding Krishna, so I'll take care of the milk, which is for Krishna, and feed Krishna next. That's not what Krishna wanted. Krishna wanted to be fed, and so he did what he did. He threw a stone and broke the pot and so forth and so on. But all of that was to assist Krishna in something that he wanted even several pastimes ago. He wanted his mother to scold him. Now, most children don't want that. But Krishna wants that because he understands it's coming from loving affection, and it's a particular taste of loving affection when mother scolds. And when mother scolded him, he not play-acted fear, but he was fearful, which is bewildering. He was afraid of mother's soda stick, so she threw away the stick. Anyway, one thing after the next was Krishna's desire. The love of Mother Yasoda was so strong, it controlled Krishna's desire. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Krishna withdrew his Satya Sankalpa Shakti, which is what I want, that's what happens. And his Icha Shakti, Krishna withdrew and extended his Kripa Shakti, so then she could bind him. And that's the glory of the pastime. The love of Mother Yasoda controls Krishna. Now he's bound, and he wasn't alone. He was with friends. They watched the whole thing. And now comes part two. Just, okay, now I have to fulfill the benediction to Nalakovira Madagriva given by my devotee Narada. He just like switched, you know, U-turn. And now he's in another mood, delivering Nalakovira Madagriva. And then his father comes and sees the two trees fallen on the ground. And so he's now, it's his father with his fatherly affection and embracing Krishna. And then the next thing and the next thing. It's just the flow. It's likened by Jiva Goswami to like a flow of a river and there's waves in the river. And the waves, when the waves mix, then it makes, the waves are like bhavas, and the mixing of the waves is like prema. And Krishna's displaying pastimes of love and churning the emotions of his devotees in various ways so their loving emotion is felt and he is enjoying in their relationship with him because there's nothing else between them than loving dealings. According to their nature, it's loving dealings and a flow of loving dealings. He doesn't lose his position by being controlled by their love because he's still the supreme controller. She can't bind him unless he allows her to bind him. And so forth. So Krishna wanted to go to Vrindavan. And then later, Krishna wanted to go to Nandagram. And then later, so the flow of Krishna's pastimes is, it's his desire moves everything. Including what his devotee Narada does. When Narada goes for a second time to visit Kamsa, Kamsa receives him very respectfully. Nanda says, "You pleased me very much by your nice reception. I want to share something with you. Remember that voice from the sky that said the eighth child of Devaki was going to kill you? Well, Vasudev cheated you. The eighth child of Devaki was taken to the other side of the river Jamuna. That's Krishna. And now he's over there in Nandagram. So, Kamsa, you're really smart. Better protect your backside. You do the needful. Oh, I'm going to kill Vasudev. No, it's not Vasudev. It's the eighth child. That's the one you got to get. Make a plan to get him. Knowing that it was just to instigate the purpose of Krishna's appearance, which was to kill the demons. He was having too much fun in Vrindavan. He has to go. So then Narada went to visit Krishna in Vrindavan and said, he can't say, Krishna, don't you remember the reason for your coming into this? Because he's enjoying his pastimes. So he comes, Krishna receives him, and Narada says very expertly, I long to see that day when you will go to Mathura and Vasudev and Devaki, your mother and father who are in a prison house of Kamsa, you will free them from prison of Kamsa after you kill Kamsa. And then all the other demons for which you appeared in this world, they long to see the day when you annihilate all the demons and give relief to Mother Earth and all the demigods who appeal to you to come and descend. They long to see the day. And Krishna said, I'm leaving tomorrow. And he left the next day. So what inspired Narada to do that? There's only one. Because Narada isn't going to do something that Krishna doesn't want, or anything that Krishna wants, Narada will do. And has that kind of relationship of service. So, while we see events, you know, in Krishna's pastimes, we must bear in mind Krishna's behind the whole thing. And then comes to our lives. You know, good fortune and ill fortune. Like, you know, misfortune. How does misfortune come into the life of a devotee? Well, we're devotees and we're, you know, so there's misfortunate things going on around us. And, you know, it's pretty, like, sickening to just check out the news and hear the latest sick thing that's happening. It's like, gosh. And anyway, misfortune. I was just reading this afternoon, Maybe I'll put them on my computer. Something that Jiva Goswami writes about misfortune. You'd like to hear it?
Yes.
You sure?
Yes.
Okay. I'll say it while I'm looking for the file. He says that for a devotee, there isn't such a thing because misfortune means karma, and for devotees, there's no karma. That is an arrangement of the Supreme Lord. And that's how devotees think. So let me find it. Okay, there we go. Question. Okay. Why is it seen sometimes that devotees also become affected by calamities and disturbances such as diseases, etc.? Answer. Srila Jiva Goswami has clearly stated in Bhakti Sandarbha, gives the Sanskrit, the translation reads, in regard to the devotee's disturbances, it should be understood that ordinary karma can never be the cause of any disturbance in the devotee's life, since such karma is extremely weak in front of bhakti. Thus, it is only due to some previously committed aparad or offense that the devotee receives some disturbance in their bhajan. Just as the king named Indradumna became an elephant named Gajendra due to an aparad committed towards Agastya, described in the Bhagavatam, Canto 8. Otherwise, for a devotee, there's absolutely no inauspiciousness. And then Jiva Goswami quotes from Vishnu Sahasranam. Ma Vasudeva Bhaktanam Ashubham Vidyate Kvachit. At any time, there's nothing inauspicious for devotees of Vasudeva. Which is also quoted in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So there's the Braja calamities, and there's our, you know, conditioned soul types of calamities. And this is taking the message from the 10th canto, and how does it apply to us? Well, we're not immersed in Krishna's internal potency. When we are immersed in Krishna, to the degree that we are immersed in Krishna's internal potency, we can easily cross beyond the difficulty of material existence. And we're not fully there, most of us at least. And so, it's not karma, that's for sure, because bhakti is stronger than karma. Even in the abhas bhakti stage, or nam abhas stage. But there's some purification. And we may not understand the purification, but Bhakti Siddhanta says, or writes, that it's for the devotee, when the devotee has difficulty, it's the Supreme Lord Govinda uprooting the very root tendency of karma, which is ignorance or evil desires. So whatever degree of ignoring Krishna tendency that we may have, it's checked by a difficulty, challenged and uprooted. Because when there's difficulty, commonly, at least for pious people, they take more intense shelter of Krishna. Impious people, it's another story, but to pious people, shelter of Krishna becomes more strong. Each one of us, for certain, will have to leave this world. And then when any one of us or someone dear to us, I mean, anecdotally, there's somebody who's, two brothers whose initiated devotees whose father was in the hospital with something, and it was going really, really bad, and they were in anxiety because of, you know, getting on an international flight and who knows what's going to happen. And then they kind of made some resolve. They have to, one of them has to go. And then it turns out their father, while in the hospital, contracted coronavirus, and he had to be taken out of this hospital and put in that hospital. And these are devotees. And then there's a 16-year-old girl that's in the hospital because of this and that, and the doctors are helping, is getting better, but it's like very stressful, and what's going on with Bhakti Trumaraj, and you know, it's the whole. So we're not exempt. We're not in Vrindavan, where we can just, you know, Krishna, and you know, he takes care of Putana, takes care of Shakatasvara, takes care of Trinavarta, and takes care of everything. Not quite like, we're not bridge bossies. But Krishna is behind everything, and purification, and hardship, difficulty. I mean, people without jobs. And so, it's the time that we're in is tumultuous, and we have to adjust our direction of our service, not, you know, the position of service, but the direction that we render our service, and how we extend ourselves to Krishna with prayer and trying to be of service to whoever we can be of service to for the pleasure of Krishna. And you know, different movements are I'll share with you something that Devamrita Maharaj sent to me yesterday. He sees that everything's okay? Okay. He sees that what's going on?
Nothing.
Huh?
Nothing.
Nothing. Okay. Come on back.
Something on the stove.
Something's burning?
No.
Okay. Hare Krishna. A very strong meditation for him, service-wise and, you know, direction-wise for the world that we live in today, is the urban-rural connection. You know, Prabhupada called it simple living, high thinking. Some people call it cow protection. Some people call it, you know, exhibiting self-sufficiency. He calls it the urban-rural connection. This is Maharaj's language. And the difficulty that many people have, according to what he was sharing, the Minister of Agriculture and Cow Protection for ISKCON Global, Kalakanta is his name. It's not the same Kalakanta that's in Florida. It's another devotee. There's very few people that actually want to live that lifestyle. That they don't mind like a rural place where they can be more like less expense and live more simply and all of that, but they don't really want to earn their livelihood by agriculture. But Devamrita Maharaj feels strongly the world is moving in that direction. The instability with all kinds of, he has all these, this research, and he believes in it, that, you know, intelligent people see it coming and they're moving in that direction, but a lot of intelligent people don't see it, and therefore they're stressed out by, you know, the turbulences that are moving things in that direction. That's, I mean, if he was in the room, he would say, no, no, it's not quite like that, but something like that. And in his preaching in colleges and wherever he goes, it's encouraging people to consider that lifestyle, but there are not too many people who want that lifestyle. So instead, there's a struggle because they've taken up something artificial. Now, the topic that we just read is the disturbances in Gokul moving to Braj. And it was the right thing to do, besides Krishna wanted it. You know, the disturbances, and then what's good for the cows, and so it was the right move. But, you know, even the point was, even in Krishna's pastimes, there are disturbances. And they reoccur slightly different and slightly different. And so what do we learn from that? Besides the sweet pastimes and Krishna's protecting him even when there's difficulties. That there's a, there's opportunity for each of us for Krishna's shelter. And through difficulties, he's extending his lotus feet to us as well as the difficulty. There's multiple sayings like that. I'll read another one. This is from the story of Bali Maharaj. And when he's tied up, and then there's all this, hey, what's going on? And different people say different things. And then Vamana himself speaks and says, a devotee is sometimes put into adversity while executing devotional service. In adversity, everyone laments and becomes aggrieved. But by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a devotee, even in the worst condition, can understand that he is going through a severe examination by the Personality of Godhead. Bali Maharaj passed all such examinations, as explained in the following verses. So here's 29 and 30 from chapter 22. Canto 8. The Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes puts a devotee to severe tests that are almost unbearable. What could hardly even live under the conditions forced upon Bali Maharaj? That Bali Maharaj endured all these severe tests and austerities is the mercy of the Supreme Lord that he survived them. The Lord certainly appreciates the devotee's forbearance, and it is recorded for the future glorification of the devotee. This was not an ordinary test. As described in this verse, hardly anyone could survive such a test. But for the future glorification of Bali Maharaj, one of the Mahajans, the Supreme Personality of Godhead not only tested him, but also gave him the strength to tolerate such adversity. The Lord is so kind to his devotee that, when severely testing him, the Lord gives him the necessary strength to be tolerant and continue to remain a glorious devotee. Now that's it's pleasant sounding. And then when the severe adversity comes, separates the men from the boys. That's an American expression. Or there's a Chanakya Pandit saying that when someone has difficulty, it's the real test of the character of the person. Chanakya Pandit, I was asking a devotee who shared this with me to give me the exact quote, but something like this. As you can test gold by rubbing it on a stone, so you can also test the quality or character of a person through the how they perform during adversity. Or what Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, that's another very nice one. You know, chapter 89 of Canto 10 is the Bhrigu kicking Krishna in the chest. And in the Krishna book, Prabhupada writes, let's see if I can find it. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. I'll read it again. One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. Should I read it again? One's greatness has to be estimated by one's ability to tolerate provoking situations. So there are provoking situations in life, and sometimes we're not so great. But sometimes Krishna gives the strength and forbearance and tolerance to understand this is Krishna's testing me, and he wants me to pass the test. So, cause it's Krishna that's in charge. What Mother Teresa writes is, in the final analysis, after all, it's not between you and them, it's between you and God. What's going on, and you know, things people may do mean things. It's between you and God. Now, it doesn't mean you have to like just be docile and be somebody's punching bag or something like that. But in the final analysis, it's between you and God. That's our place of shelter. And that's not being taken away from us by adverse circumstances. That's higher consciousness. That's one's greatness. Recognizing that. And so tolerate difficulties doesn't mean you're docile. It just means you're not reactive. You're in Krishna's shelter and you're trying to be pleasing to Krishna given some adverse circumstance. So it depends on the circumstance. Depends on the individual. So all of that is, do not think that when we go to back home, back to Godhead, there won't be adverse circumstances. But there's always Krishna. And we get a chance to practice in our present circumstances. And Krishna's watching. And he's helping. He's not taunting us or tormenting us or something. He's giving us an opportunity to take deeper shelter of him. And then choose what's an appropriate way to conduct yourself during some adverse circumstance. But the greatness of a person can be only estimated by how they respond to difficulties that come. And the bridge boss, you get an A+. And they're moving. Because Krishna wants. That's why they're moving. They're using their rational considerations. Wise, prudent, good for the cows, good for the people, good for the children. The right decision. So they move. But ultimately it's because it's pleasing to Krishna. That's the bhakti part. Okay, so let's see if there's a little discussion. Hari Bol.
Maharaj, thank you so much for visiting us and spending this evening with us. Very grateful to you. Showing your mercy again. Maharaj, the last part of this lecture is very touching because it talks about our real life.
Yeah.
Day to day. So, Whatever you said is absolutely true, because this is absolute. There is no other. But being a conditioned soul, how do we understand when we have difficulties, adversities, we don't see a light at the other side of the tunnel, we keep praying to Krishna. How do we see the hand of Krishna in our life? It is a struggle day to day. We know there is Krishna, but we read Bhagavatam, we read so many examples, like Rantidev, going so much adversities, but they were holding on to it. But we are not at that level. How do we understand that Krishna's hand is there, Maharaj?
Well, he has to remove ignorance. In other words, you won't. You have to remove ignorance, otherwise you won't understand. You said it four times. How can we understand? And I'm just being very direct. We will not be able to understand when we're covered by ignorance, because ignorance blocks that understanding. So how do we go to the process of removing ignorance? Then you can understand. So the bhakti process, theoretical, we can't see, but theoretical. We understand by symptoms. We understand the presence of a thing, like we understand the presence of the soul by the symptoms, by consciousness. And the absence of the soul is the absence of consciousness. We understand a thing by its... In the morning, we were hearing the gopis saying, when Krishna is playing upon his flute, he's calling the cows. Although he's calling the cows, the trees and creepers, they hear. And although he's not calling the trees and creepers, just hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they become stunned. And the symptom of their being stunned is flowers, abundant flowers, and sap comes from the trees like tears. So there's symptoms that we can understand. They're feeling the presence of Vishnu within themselves. Now, how do you know what somebody else, what a tree or a creeper is feeling? But by symptoms. So this is the gopis. How do we understand Krishna's hand behind things? By symptoms. But if we're in ignorance, we don't. So, whatever it is that's world events, or something that's happening within the household, or something that's happening in the community, or something that's happening. How do we understand the hand of Krishna? Well, without purification, in a covered condition, we're not. We can have some faith that Krishna is, as super soul, he sanctions everything. Now, why would he sanction bad stuff? That's like a natural question. Well, he shouldn't. It's, you know, he made a mistake. So, he didn't make a mistake. So how do we understand? You know, there's many ways to understand. This coronavirus thing and what's going to happen when wave two comes, because the people that are experts in this field are saying it. And we don't know what it's going to look like, but we know there's going to be one. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So why? Why not? I mean, the hand of Krishna, so many sinful activities in the name of religion included. And then, you know, so are people going to get it? Well, why do you have a prison? Because people are criminals. You put them in prison. So they're being restrained. Their freedom is being restrained. And people are, anyway... So, it takes knowledge, but even to see that as it's happening, when ignorance is covering our real knowledge, our real understanding of Krishna, you're not going to see Krishna present. So we're devotees, but we're not purified, able to see. So you need that purification. And, you know, like what we're doing, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and engaging in the bhakti process, so that cleansing, Chaita Darpa Namarjanam, is taking place. And gradually we can start to see. The thickness of Maya is becoming less, and the faint understanding, beginning glimmer of understanding of how Krishna is there in all the things that happen. We may not understand in the moment, but if we're patient and faithful, then maybe we'll get to see the bigger picture. But at least in principle, Krishna's lifting us from the darkness of ignorance. And the spiritual master is lifting Oma Gyana Timarandasya, lifting us from the darkness of ignorance. And as we get lifted, then we can see. Until then, we won't be able to see. Just have to have some faith.
Yeah, that is true.
Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class. There will be many, it's kind of a follow-up question. Actually, this my kids ask me this question. Like, I tell them that, you know, we have to have faith in Krishna, faith in God, immaterial of the results. What we get when we ask for something, even if we don't get, we have to have faith in Krishna that He is going to do whatever is needed for us. But
I'm waiting for the but.
But at times it becomes hard to reason. Yes, part of it, in your previous answer of not knowing or the ignorance, but also, with the little faith that we have, when frustration or when your, you know, dissatisfaction takes over, oh, I did so much, I prayed to Krishna whenever you asked me to, or every day, but nothing happened. So how do we answer that question?
Oh, it's easy. Say it in different ways. Krishna is not our order supplier. Mm-hmm. That's one. Prabhupada's. My way of saying the same thing is, when you surrender to Krishna, please understand that you're surrendering on His terms, not yours. That is, He knows what's best for us. We don't. We got ourselves into, you know, a big mess because we thought we knew what was best for us. People do think that what they think is best for them. And look at the mess. So when you have some idea of what's best for you, you have to put that over on the side, and Krishna knows what's best. And that's the term of taking shelter of Krishna, is He knows what's best. So it may be, for just going back to your question, do you really want me? Now, if Krishna understands, yes, she really wants me, He may, like you may do with your child sometimes, He may not immediately give you what you want. Because He knows that really just giving you what you want isn't really what you need. And it's really not what you want in the higher sense. And he wants that sense of affection and dependence upon him to become strengthened without condition. So when there you say hello and there's no hello back. Hello. No, you know, we have our expectations. So Krishna's responding in ways that we may not be noticing. I'm dealing with a situation with a couple of devotees where they're, you know, it's clear to me that Krishna is reciprocating and it's clear to them Krishna isn't. Or it's like, it's just more hardship is coming instead of Krishna's removing them from hardship. But what Krishna wants is their heart. And, you know, Krishna wants them to understand that's what they want. Krishna's preparing some devotees to become squeaky clean so they can go back to Godhead last lifetime. And so there's some ordeal. That's Bhakti Siddhanta's language. So but you may not see it. I don't want ordeal, thank you. I want it nice. He's not reciprocating. We don't see Krishna's hand. We don't see the plan of the Lord. We don't see that there's reciprocation. He's not a stone. To the degree that we have affection, what does the Supreme Lord have? But how does he display that? It's not how we display it. Because we're imperfect, and he's not. So how's he working our situation to bring us closer to him? In the moment, we may not understand, and if you stay faithful, we'll start to understand. That's why that happened. That's why that didn't happen. Or that's why it happened this way. And it's multiple things at one time. It's not only one thing. I mean, I'm thinking about six different situations that I'm involved with in lives of other people, and it's the hand of Krishna is not clear, or the reciprocation with Krishna is not clear to them. But you know, we're entangled in Maya. We're not an easy case. But Krishna's expert, and you know, and also the conditional way in which we approach Krishna is not what Krishna wants. You know, he can give us what we want. But if he doesn't give us what we want, that may be better for us than giving us what we want. And when we want it, then we're spoiled. And then we just keep going back to Krishna for things we want. That's not what Krishna wants. We're trying to become devotees, and so he's taking our hearts to the place of devotion. Now, going back to your question, our faith may not be so great, maybe like very little. Krishna knows whatever it is, and he's helping to make it stronger. And sometimes people take wrong turns. People that I know have taken wrong turns. And that's, it's sad. But, you know, you don't give up on them, you want them. So anyway, and they may not right away come back, but Krishna doesn't forget them. Although they may, you know, like the son goes away from home and the father never forgets the son. The son is busy forgetting the father, but the father never forgets the son. So Krishna is like that. And we're trying to get closer or somebody, I don't know if you're speaking yourself or somebody dear to you, and it's not happening and it's not happening and my faith is being tested and Krishna knows. It's not like demigod worship. Quick results and presto. The journey is a more expensive journey. The price is higher. We have to give ourselves to, and let go of all the temporary demands and stuff. It's not all at once. Gradual process. You have something further. I can tell you're enthusiastic. She might have something further too.
If it is okay, maybe we can take home.
No. This is nice. Okay.
Maharaj, I'm going to go a little personal.
Okay.
You can stop me if you don't want to answer, but I'm just going to ask because I want to ask. So devotional service is like susukam kartum avayam.
Devotional service, say it slower.
No, susukam kartum avayam.
Okay.
Happy to. So my experience is I'm not there. I don't know how it looks like. Maybe I had a glimpse for a short moment, then I'm doing kirtan. Maybe. I don't know. So I'm asking you because you we look at you as a, you know, acharya. So can you share how it looks like? At least we can hear, not able to taste, but sorry Maharaj, I mean if...
In short, it's reciprocation. A relationship is reciprocation. It's, you know, it's give and take. It's both. So our position, you're looking a little puzzled. Our position is constitutionally we're servants of Krishna. So we serve. And Krishna receives the service and Krishna reciprocates. That's a relationship. And now this statement again, it's on Krishna's terms. How he reciprocates, that's up to him. That's what a loving relationship is. Look, I'll serve you and here's my expectation back. That's business. That's not service. So service is Krishna reciprocates in his own way. And it's, you know, pretty, adventuresome how Krishna reciprocates. But so what's it feel like is being in a relationship with Krishna where Krishna is reciprocating and you're recognizing that. It's very personal. And you know, when that light goes on, then you can see all kinds of other impure things or, you know, residual things that are hanging around inside the heart. That really kind of interfere with that relationship. You know, anarcha nivritti. And so, you know, there's the prayer. Please take these pure things away. You know. Now, Krishna does that. Krishna's form of Lord Srinagadev does that especially. You know, he takes from the heart impure things, obstacles. So it's, you know, it's entering into a relationship where that's the focus. It's the, you're doing many things, but there's, you know, like you're a family man. So you have a wife and a son, at least one, you made there two. Okay. So, you know, your life, so many things you do, it's centered around those relationships. And so many things, but it's centered. So then this just bumps it up to there's a relationship with Krishna that's at the center of those relationships. And it just evolves to the point where that's at the center. It doesn't diminish the importance of wife and two boys. It just takes on a whole other dimension, a bhakti dimension. That there's the relationship with Krishna that's helping you in these primary relationships and other activities that you do. It's just evolving in that relationship. I'm describing in general terms, but it's a loving relationship. A loving relationship meaning reciprocation. We serve, but it's not just service. There's reciprocation. And the reciprocation comes however he likes. And it's nice like that. It's not nice when it's like the relationship is on my terms. It's not his terms. I just keep serving. Just today, when having lunch, I was hearing Prabhupada speak Canto 4. Forget the verse number. But he was saying in pushing forward Krishna consciousness, there's difficulties. But we push on Krishna consciousness anyway. Because, he didn't get into what his swarup and his, all of those things, you know, his position in service to Krishna. He's speaking in terms that will help his students, us. It's the relationship with Krishna essence, and it grows. It becomes, you know, in mature stage, it becomes really mature, but relationship, bhakti, through service and reciprocation with that service. Chanting, reading, preaching, organizing, you know, needs of family members, and Krishna's there. Okay?
Thank you.
And then it grows. Unlimitedly. Okay, how are we doing with online?
We have 5 or something.
Okay.
Atulya Mataji's question. Maharaj, kindly elaborate on the lessons to learn from Vasudev deciding to move to Vrindavan.
It's Upananda decided to move to Vrindavan.
Sometimes in our lives, we have just decided to stay where we are.
Good.
Because sometimes the grass just looks greener on the other side.
Yes.
And also sometimes newness of the new place may just wear out soon.
Yes. Just stay where you are. Keep it simple.
This is from Megha Mataji from Naperville. Her question is from... She read in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 12, that when there is a Mahabhagavata in the family, up to 100 generations, past, present, and future, can be liberated.
Yeah.
Her question is, would the 100 generations be delivered even if they are engaged in materialistic activities? Because down the line, 100 generations in Kali Yuga is going to be really looking bad.
Yeah. But Prabhupada answered that question in a different way, not the 100 generations Mahabhagavata, but what kind of liberation? Prabhupada's answer was, they will have the opportunity to engage in devotional service. And that, he didn't give the philosophical explanation, but the philosophical explanation is devotional service is rendered from the liberated position. Mamsha Yovya Bicharena verse. It's from the liberated position. But they can say no.
This is from Sanchari, from Houston. Sometimes when engaged in prayer, the thought comes that I'm not alone in my feelings because the source of everything knows everything that I'm going through. Not just in an impersonal, checking-the-boxes kind of way.
Good.
But in a personal, experienced way.
good.
And it helps in staying connected through prayer. Is it sentimentalism to think that Krishna feels all types of emotions, even so-called negative ones?
How does that fit in with all this preamble? Krishna has emotions, but not the kind of emotions that we have any experience of. Now, he may have what looks to us like a negative emotion is an ecstasy. He's feeling, you know, not just a negative emotion, he's feeling the separation of the residents of Vrindavan are felt by him. He feels separation from them. So you can call that a negative emotion, but it's not. It's an ecstatic emotion. He has ecstatic emotions.
This is from Shivaram Prabhu from Palatine. Narada Muni glorifying Krishna about his future activities and then later Krishna leaving to do those activities seem like manipulative to my mind. Can you please clarify?
It's love. It's not manipulative. He loves Krishna, he knows Krishna's heart, and he's serving a function in loving service to Krishna. Now, if somebody else were to do something like that, that may be a very good label, but that's not Narada.
This is from Padma Priya Mataji. I have heard laughter was a constant companion in the association of Srila Prabhupada.
Who was?
Laughter. Laughing. Laughter. Joyfulness.
Okay.
Is a constant companion when in the association of Srila Prabhupada. Hope that Krishna is kind is a constant message you are feeding us day in and day out.
Yeah.
Times are tough beyond imagination. Living inside containment zones. Not sure what's awaiting tomorrow. Okay, it's a comment. Sorry. Your Yuvani Association is very hope giving. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. He has another one. He's go ahead.
Maharaj, this is out of context. We are reading fourth canto where Prithu Maharaj is chastising Mother Earth. He's angry. So one of the verses at the end of 17th chapter, Prabhupada talks about Krishna's energies, internal, marginal, external energies. He quotes, living entities are also part of marginal energy. And Prabhupada quotes, Brahma is also a living entity, is part of marginal energy. So I read somewhere else that living entities are part of Krishna's superior energy or internal part of that, because we are attracted to material, we fell down. So I was not clear of this marginal. Is it living entities are part of marginal or superior?
They're both.
Yeah, that's where I got.
Okay, I follow the question.
Yes.
There are different models. So one model is para and apara prakriti. So the living entity is para prakriti, that's superior energy. And apara prakriti is inferior energy, not conscious. So superior energy, conscious. So that's the living entity is in that category. Then here's another model. They're not, the language, it's English, but so that I'm sure the Sanskrit has different terminology, but just the English is marginal, is of the spiritual nature, but very tiny and therefore potentially influenced by the inferior energy, therefore marginal. The classic example given in the Vedas is where the river meets the riverbank. You've heard this example, right? Okay, so there's a line. And where the line is, it's not exactly the river, it's not exactly the riverbank. It's marginal. The living entity is in that position. That is to say, can be influenced this way or that way. By the internal potency or the external potency. Living entity is not internal potency, it's superior energy, but it's not Krishna's internal potency, it's his marginal potency. So we have a tendency, marginal, to be influenced by his internal or his external potency, therefore marginal. But we're of the spiritual nature, or a superior nature, because we're conscious. Two models.
So living entity is struggling in between.
Huh?
Living entity is struggling in between.
Yeah, that we're marginal. Although superior.
Although superior.
Because of being conscious. And that you'll satchit ananda vigraha. Qualities like Krishna. Okay, one more. Pass the microphone.
So this is from Amara Mataji. She has a 3-part question.
Just do one at a time, please, because her question is usually long.
When some bad incident happens in life, is it karmic reaction or Krishna's arrangements?
It depends. Bad things happen to bad people. And some bad things may happen to devotees. So if it's a devotee, we just read. Bhakti has the power to dissolve karma. So if something happens to a devotee that's unfortunate, you can call it a minimization of karma, but it's Krishna's arrangement to remind the devotee, you have this tendency, entanglement tendency to be involved in matter. So come to me. It's different than karma.
The second part is, what is the difference between karmic reaction and Krishna's arrangement, and how are they related?
Well, it's the same question being asked in a different way. Next question.
How to forgive the instrument of karmic reaction or Krishna's arrangement, particularly when one is not able to see Krishna's hand?
Well, on the instruction to do so, that's how you do it. Very simple. And if you can't act on the instruction to do so, then you won't. Go ahead.
This is from Balaram Prasad Prabhu. Faith is always shaky in spite of hearing again and again.
Mm.
We always see some reciprocation from Krishna and we say Krishna's hand is there. Next time, we are expecting another reciprocation from Krishna for the next adversity, but there is no reciprocation.
Well, you say there's no reciprocation, but we went through this. That was her question. It may not look what we're expecting it to look like, and therefore we say there's no reciprocation. There's reciprocation.
So he's just asking, looks like our consciousness is more of business instead of depending on him, to process this and develop faith.
You've understood correctly how to process it is just be honest with, that's the mentality that I have, a businessman's mentality, and I need to move from the businessman's mentality to the devotee mentality, and you move in steps. Acknowledging this is where I am. This whole topic of acceptance and progress. This is where I am, and this is where I want to go. What, here are some steps I can take to get there. That's what you do. And you want to get a detailed answer, listen to all those recordings on acceptance and progress from our Gitanagari retreat. We discussed it for 3 days.
This is from Brajabhumi Mataji from Palatine. The way each universe has a Brahma, is Narada Muni also different for each universe?
Somebody asked that the other day. It's not the same, whether it's the same Narada or not the same Narada, Narada's there. Okay? Huh?
She has a question.
Okay.
Maharaj, you said bhakti is stronger than karma. Whether we start doing devotional service or before devotional service, everybody is bound to do mistakes in their life, whether small or big.
Yeah.
The byproduct of doing devotional service is knowing what, slowly coming to know what you have done.
Yes. Yes.
But if bhakti is that strong, how do we see whatever mistakes to the degree whatever they are? How do we see that? And I don't want to be despondent, of, let's say if I did some mistake or if I did some, committed something. I don't want to be despondent of it. But
you don't want to be what?
Become despondent of after knowing that I did a mistake. After what I committed, because
we'll be really miserable if we got despondent when we make mistakes. Because we make so many mistakes.
So
we don't go there. But you want to know what to do when you recognize you made a mistake. And I don't want to get bent out of shape or, diminished in my enthusiasm. I want to carry on a devotional service.
Right.
When recognizing, so let's do it again. Bhakti helps us become cleansed. And as we become cleansed, we realize A and B, we make mistakes and there are mistakes that we made in the past that we didn't even recognize that were made. And now I'm bearing the fruits of those past mistakes, although minimized. So now, how do I not feel bad about myself or feel discouraged? I want to stay strong in bhakti when seeing things that I couldn't see before when I was in ignorance, or more ignorance than I am now. I like the example that Prabhupada gives in Nectar Devotion about a child's walking propensity. They don't have the developed motor skills, but they try to walk, and as they try to walk, eventually they develop the motor skills. So, to be able to walk. And then next thing you know, they're running. So, bhakti is like that. It's natural. The place to take shelter of is bhakti is natural. So the other is unnatural or a diseased condition. The mistake is part of my unnatural, artificial, and diseased condition. I have the material disease. I've been infected. And in that infected condition, I have symptoms. And part of it is making mistakes. So, but I want to go to the bhakti position that's beyond the mistakes. And so let me keep going with faith in the bhakti process. I'll take responsibility for my mistakes. I'm not going to just dismiss them. I'll take responsibility. But I'm not going to let my attention go away from taking shelter of Krishna. That's this Tate Nukampam Sutsamikshamano verse. You know that one. Bhajate Mama Nanyubak. I will not budge an inch from that position, shelter taking of Krishna. Then that's their strength. And you're with strength and you can overcome the, you know, the weakness position or the faltering, feeling bad thing. Keep going forward. And be in association with persons that are going forward. And they can help you when you get a little wobbly. Okay. Hare Krishna.